Hello and welcome to Anna with Two N's English podcast with me, Anna Connolly, where I talk about lots of different things in English. I'm an English teacher, I'm from the UK, and I live in Madrid. If you want to subscribe to my podcast, I would love you to, and you can on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iVoox, and others. And if you want to check out more of my free content, you can find me on Instagram at Anna2NsEnglish. But before we get started with today's episode, let's have some nice samba music, please. Okay, today we're going to have a look at something that I know you love, which is phrasal verbs. Now, I'm going to say before I start talking about these phrasal verbs that you probably don't use. If you haven't already, go back and listen to my episode, Breaking Down Phrasal Verbs. I'm just going to find the number for you now, because that would be really helpful, wouldn't it? I did an episode number 60, called Breaking Down Phrasal Verbs. To break down basically means to analyze. And if you haven't listen to that episode first before you listen to this one, because it's basically just an explanation of how phrasal verbs work, some important things, etc., etc. So have a listen to that one if you haven't already. Now, what gave me the inspiration for this episode? I usually get actually inspiration from my episodes from my students, to be honest, or interactions that I have. And I used this phrasal verb with one of my students and I was like, oh, I love it. I want to talk about it on my podcast. And also because nobody really uses these phrasal verbs, but they're actually really, really useful in a business context. So I thought that's going to be a podcast episode right there. Now, I'm going to keep it quite condensed. I'm only going to do three examples because I think with phrasal verbs it can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes, so I'm not going to do like 9 million phrasal verbs in one episode. No, let's have a look at three. Let's focus on three. Let's put it in context. Let me give you some examples, and then hopefully you'll come away from this episode knowing exactly what those phrasal verbs mean, which is also important. You also need to understand when you hear people talking about them, what they actually mean. And maybe you could even try one of these out in your next meeting or your next, I don't know, conversation, and you can impress everybody with your phrasal verbs. So we're going to have a look at three without today. Now, out, as I said in the episode Breaking Down phrasal verbs make a little bit more sense when you group them by preposition. So one of the meanings of using the preposition out is like extending and spreading. So we're going to kind of use that, but quite loosely, okay? Don't get too obsessed with that, because it's helpful if you're struggling, but also at the same time, it can make it confusing. But all of these phrasal verbs kind of fit in that category, some more closely than others. But if we think about out being like extending and spreading, which brings me nicely to the first one, which is definitely about spreading. I did a hybrid, that happens, which is about extending and spreading, which is the phrasal verb to roll out. I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to put it in context and see if you can figure out what I'm talking about. The government, or well, I think the government here in Spain plans to roll out some tax increases over the coming months. I think they're going to roll some out, but I'm not sure. Maybe my company is going to roll out some new policies over the next year after all the big changes that have happened. Maybe my company is going to roll out a few changes. I was working with a student who was their job was basically rolling out new software in the company, new different programs, new different pieces of software, and they were the head of that job, and they had to roll out all of these new systems and all of these new pieces of software across the organization. And not only that, they had to do it cross country as well, which is like super difficult. And it was really interesting because they would tell me about it in the class. So what do you think rollout means? Well, rollout is effectively lanzar in Spanish. And it means to officially launch or introduce a new product or service. This is super common. We're always like, yeah, we're going to roll it out. Like, let's roll it out next year. It's going to be rolled out in the autumn. Launching, introducing new products and services to roll something out or to roll out something. It's separable and it's transitive. We rolled out something. You can't just say, we're going to roll out. It's like, what are you going to roll out? Tell me something, please. We can also use it as an adjective. We can say is going to be or to be rolled out. This new software was rolled out last autumn, for example. Love that one, roll out. Absolutely love it. Just, I don't know, it's just great. And it's quite kind of like, it describes the action, you know, like roll out, like extending and spreading. I think that one's quite good. Okay, next. Let's move on because I always talk too much. This next one is about adding substance to things. Now, let me put you in this situation. Imagine that you have to do a report for something or a proposal. Okay, this is just going to be the episode of hybrids. That was like Rapunzel and proposal together, but I don't really know where Rapunzel came from, but there you go. Imagine you have to do a proposal for your boss or whoever, and you know, you're putting together a draft, you're putting some things in it, and you take it to your boss for a bit of feedback. And your boss says, okay, we've got the outline here, but I really need you to flesh it out a bit. I need you to flesh out your arguments. I need you to flesh out some of this detail here. So what are they asking you to do? They're asking you to add more substance to whatever you're saying. And this is quite common because often when we're writing maybe reports or drafts, sometimes we start with like an outline and then we need to make it a little bit more detailed. In Spanish, we probably say hacer más sustancioso. Like give me more detail, give me more substance. Okay. Again, I come back to this point. This is kind of loosely related to extending, spreading. See what I mean? It's not always super useful to go with that kind of rule, but you know. So to flesh out. Flesh is like the thing on your bones, huesos, flesh. In Spanish, you have an expression, carne, hueso. Flesh is like your body, like your muscles. And actually not just your muscles, everything that's underneath, from your bone to your skin, that's your flesh. And we actually use it in a physical sense as well. For example, if somebody says to you, oh, Anna fleshed out a lot. It means that maybe I was very thin and then I put on some weight. So I kind of looked a little bit more normal in inverted commas. Inverted commas means I'm doing that thing with my fingers, you know, I'm like normal, whatever normal really is. So to flesh out, if somebody asks you to flesh something out, they want more detail, they want more substance. And equally, if somebody gives you something and you're like, I need a little bit more with this, you can say, I would really like you to flesh it out a bit more. Is it possible to flesh this out a little bit more, for example? Actually, I'm going to do an episode about softening English soon, because that's one of the topics I've been working with some of my students on. Because a lot of people, when they're speaking English, I've noticed they tend to be too direct, especially Spanish speakers when they're speaking English. It's like they're too direct. And sometimes that can be a little bit abrasive. So I'm going to do an episode about softening. But for example, one way that you can soften your English very quickly is using things like modal verbs. I would like you to flesh this out a little bit. Is it possible if you could? So we like to soften things a lot. I'm talking here mainly about British interacting with people from the UK and British people. This can be quite important. Otherwise, it just sounds too direct and maybe people won't want to do what you want them to do. And that's what we want. We want people to do what we want to do, essentially. Okay, last one. I like this one. Again, loosely kind of extending, spreading. I did the hybrid thing again. But I really like this one. I'm going to put it in context for you. So this one is about ending up, concluding, to develop in a particular way. And this one, actually, the first part of this phrasal verb is also a utensil that you have in your kitchen. A pan. And the phrasal verb is to pan out. In Spanish, we might say salir bien, dar resultado. So imagine that you're thinking about maybe a company, for example, and you're thinking, well, let's see. You're setting up a company, sorry, let me give a bit more context to that. And you're like, well, I'm not really sure how things are going to pan out, but I'm going to give it a go. So essentially what I'm saying is, I'm not really sure how things are going to end up, but I'm going to give it a go. I'm not really sure how things are going to pan out. You could also use it when you're reflecting about the past, you could say, well, you know, I started the new business, but things didn't really pan out as I expected, i.e. things didn't really end up as I expected. The project didn't pan out like we wanted. Let's see how the project's going to pan out. I hope things pan out as I expect, but I don't know. We never know what's going to happen in the future, right? So I love this phrasal verb. Okay, something pans out. It's not a transitive phrasal verb, it's intransitive. Something pans out, meaning end up. I think that's the closest way I could describe it if you're going to use it in a sentence. For example, it depends how things end up. It depends how things pan out. So why not the next time that you're going to use end up and you're using it in a business context, why not substitute it for pan out? Have a go. And now you know that if somebody says to you, you're talking about a project and they're like, well, let's see how things pan out. And you're like, why the hell is this person talking about something that I've got in my kitchen? You know that they mean, let's see how things end up. Because again, knowing all of these really, you know, more unusual phrasal verbs is even, I would say, arguably more important to be able to understand them than to use them. So those are my nice little three. My nice little package of three phrasal verbs, business phrasal verbs in particular, that you probably don't use, but now you know where we use them and you can go off and use them. I said use like five times, but whatever. You can go and use them when you're at work. I really encourage you to try and use the vocabulary that you hear on the podcast. I'm actually doing that at the moment. I'm trying to give my Spanish a bit of a push. And one of the things I'm trying to do to make sure that I kind of consolidate what I'm learning is actually using it. So I look at the vocab I've learned and then I think, okay, how can I put this into a presentation, for example? So try and actually like say the words that you've learned, because otherwise you're kind of just going to forget them and probably won't be able to use them very well. So try and actually put them in context as quickly as possible, if you have the opportunity, of course. You could always write a few sentences if you don't have anybody to talk to in English. Write a few sentences down. That's always a good way to consolidate things as well. So I hope you liked that episode today and I hope it was useful for you. If you like the podcast, do subscribe. And if you really like the podcast, tell a friend or a colleague who you think might like it as well. Thank you so much for listening and I'll be back for another episode very, very soon. Bye-bye.